repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. Okay, God has told us about this. We understand it. It's been proven to us. What do we do for not being the father?
There's another level about to happen, and it's going to be, as you're seeing things happen, that says we've never seen that before.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics, mm-hmm. and areas never flooded before.
Of course, the biggest tornadoes we've seen before. How could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
People understand the techniques of Saul Alinsky and how you have to organize things, and you got to keep a continual pressure to be able to change behaviors. We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
When you see Iran building ICBMs, just remember, America, that's God's for you.
But I can guarantee you this. The days when the Jewish people remain passive in the face of genocidal enemies, those days are over. This is why, as Prime Minister of Israel, I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand. But I know that Israel does not stand alone. I know that America stands with Israel. I know that you stand with Israel.
In 2010, the U.S. patrol border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
Yeah, we already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is, if we don't repent, this storm is coming, and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized. We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics, tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years. His mentor was Saul Alinsky, wrote a book, Rules for Radicals, which was dedicated to Lucifer.
You know, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle and staying constitutionally right under the laws, but also, you know, doing his best to walk righteously before the Lord and boldly before his enemy, moving in love.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement. Yes, sir. Would you forgive us?
On behalf of those families that have been unjust, I stand before you now and we receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
If you don't know what God's saying, if you don't know what the Lord's saying, you got to find out. Why aren't you hearing what God's saying? That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over. But if we humble ourselves, God will just hear from heaven, heal our land. He'll stop this storm that's been fashioned against us.
You're about to see something come to pass in the very near future that your mind cannot even wrap around. It's going to be so magnanimous, so awful, so awesome. And the nations and the kings and the politicians of the earth, their mouth will be open. It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
And God spoke to me. He said, this is the wind of the end time revival. And this wind is going to blow not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
There's seven spheres of we call them mountains, really, that if you impact these mountains, the culture, you'll transform that culture. Religion, we would say the church, second, family, education, business, arts and entertainment, media, and government. I believe the best days you know, for the churches ahead, but it's not going to look like anything like it looks like now. It's going to be exciting, exhilarating. It's going to be willing to go through things and rejoice in the fact that they went through it.
Understand that we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Have you noticed the drought in some areas in America? It's pouring down rain, and some other areas in America is just dried up. And our food, you know, most of our food comes from a great distance away. I forget, we'll talk more about how far it comes away, but most of, I think 25% of our produce is grown in the state of California. The breadbasket, like Iowa, they're struggling with acquiring food and growing food. As a matter of fact, let's take a look at this.
Right.
The carefree days of summer, a time for ice cream and dips in the pool. But for millions of American children, these days are far from carefree. When school lets out, hunger can become a reality.
For every 7 kids getting a free or reduced price lunch, only about 1 gets a meal during the summer. So that's a huge gap in terms of participation.
Parents must find creative ways to fill that gap.
When you think about a family's food budget or family's budget in general, you know, you have your rent or your mortgage, you have your utilities, your transportation costs. These are fixed costs, whereas a food budget is really one of the more flexible parts of the budget.
Leaving parents with a difficult question: pay bills or cut back on groceries? Many turn to the government, which provides a lot of food, but leaves some big gaps. According to Christine Melendez of Bread for the World, the U.S. fills about 19 of every 20 food bags going to needy families. While its summer meal programs reach a lot of city kids, it can leave children in rural areas behind. A recent White House report reveals 1.5 million rural children live in poverty. Case in point, Iowa, middle of the nation's breadbasket, where 1 in 5 children often go hungry. Iowa is usually known as the political capital of the world, but it could now be known, potentially, as the hunger-fighting capital of the world. Meet Susan Bunns and Christina Zink, 2 women from different organizations taking up the same fight, ending hunger in Iowa. Bunns enters the battle without government assistance through Meals from the Heartland. The nonprofit Christian organization packages meals for children all over the world. Last year, they provided more than 10 million.
So this is our packaging area. We can have 120 people in here at a time packaging meals. Usually what you'd have is 10 people at each end of these table. They box at the end. We generally figure that a group of 10 can do 2,000 meals an hour.
Many of those meals are needed right here in Iowa, a fact that surprises outsiders.
There's these gaps and holes, just like any other place, where there's a need for food that isn't being met. Yeah. Why it happens or how you correct it, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Our problem is there are kids and adults and elderly, and we leave out the elderly a lot, that need meals.
Getting those meals into hungry bellies takes a team effort. First stop is a supply place like the Food Bank of Iowa. This is where Zink steps in.
Our clients are definitely working. 60% work full-time, and of that 60%, 19% work over 40 hours. But hunger really doesn't discriminate, and it takes just one incident to put you at risk. It could be a car repair, a medical emergency, the loss of a job. And it's really not just in the metro either. We have a large rural population that has a lack of resources that we're trying to reach out to.
Through a new initiative, the Food Bank focuses on getting food to some of those rural areas. Zink says partnering with Christian organizations and other agencies helps get food across the state.
It's definitely important for organizations like the Food Bank and our partner agencies and our program partners. We really couldn't do it without them. It really does take a community. And without some of the government support that's on the line right now, it'll take even more of that effort of individual and corporate support to help us feed people.
Effort that comes from groups like CBN's Operation Blessing. The Operation Blessing Hunger Strike Force has a fleet of trucks that distributes food and supplies to needy people. Last year, they delivered 64 million pounds of food and supplies to community-based partners. These partners then work with local food pantries to help get food to hungry families. Even with Christian groups and the U.S. government leading the way, the need remains, says Melendez.
But we can't food bank our way out of hunger. We also can't food stamp our way out of hunger. We're not going to end hunger until we address those kind of root causes. Why is it that families are hungry?
It's a question that remains to be answered, and a reminder that childhood hunger can affect anyone and will take everyone's help to solve. David Brody, CBN News, in Des Moines, Iowa.
That's so important when you think about, you know, during the summertime, how the church should just kind of rise and be able to meet that particular need. But the question we ask ourselves is, why would a family's life be like that so that during the summertime, they're not creating enough revenue, enough income to be able to feed themselves? And it's like, what's happening in America that could create such a shortage? And it makes me think about this drought that's going on. As a matter of fact, I believe it's Governor Brown talking about out of California. Let's take a look.
A historic drought in California is confronting authorities with the worst water shortage in more than a century. The parched state has seen little to no rain this year, affecting residents, farmers, and soon possibly even the rest of the country. Caitlin Burke reports.
California is running out of water. Parched fields, starving livestock, and near empty water reservoirs led Governor Jerry Brown to declare a drought emergency. That was 2 weeks ago. And today, still no rain.
Simply put, there's not enough water to go around.
On Friday, state officials announced there's no water left in the main distribution system, and they won't be delivering any water to local agencies this year. Instead, those users will have to rely on other supplies.
Today's actions mean that everyone, farmers, fish, people in our cities and towns, will get less water as a result. But these actions will protect us all better in the long run.
The move affects more than 25 million people, most notably California's farmers.
The citrus belt, the grapes, the nuts, all of them is the east side. When you take them to zero water allocation, which is what's going to happen here, it's going to be a major crisis for those cities.
The impact could spread across the country, pinching the nation's food supply.
This year, we'll see maybe a little less product or maybe a little smaller. If we have another year like this, though, it will be a tragedy.
California has already experienced 3 years of below normal rain and snow. Now, 17 communities and water districts are within 100 days of completely running out of water. Governor Jerry Brown is asking everyone to do their part to conserve.
Don't flush more than you have to. Don't shower longer than you need to. And turn the water off when you're shaving or brushing your teeth.
Caitlin Burke, CBN News.
This is so important because, you know, quite often you think about the children that are already going hungry under the present food supplies. And then you think about what's taking place in California. You think about the number of years it takes to recover. And we're going to talk about when we get back from the break that it takes 2 years for things to kick in, consequences from different things that are taking place. And if it takes 2 years, you're 2 years already into that reality. And we're going to talk about a prophecy given by John Paul Jackson and some very specific things that we don't even know about. Did you know that our food, most of our food probably comes from about 500 maybe miles away from us, maybe 200. We'll talk more specific after the break. But sometimes we just assume it comes from the supermarket. It comes from their local grocery store. But actually, trucks bring that there, as we saw the trucks of Operation Blessing bring in food. And the question is, where are they bringing that food from? And in that state where it's being grown, is there a water shortage in there? And what are we going to do with a huge food shortage and drought? And who causes it to rain? And where does the food come from anyway? And so much more after this break. Make sure you join us.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I was kind of demanding with my kids that they would do their homework at the kitchen table in a certain way.
This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. And Jill Savage says that as her five children got older, she solved the nightly homework battle by noticing their preferences.
You have to let them be them. And some of my kids do better doing homework on their bed. Some do better doing it in the island in the kitchen while I'm making dinner. Every kid is different, and it's not a one-size-fits-all. It's important that they're doing it, but if they're getting it accomplished, let's not argue over the ridiculous. And I think sometimes as parents, we make mountains out of molehills.
As your children get older, find some ways to let them make their own choices so they can more easily move into adulthood. You'll hear more trusted advice on raising teens and letting them go at FocusOnTheFamily.com/parenting.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. You know, you think about this is so wonderful watching how, you know, Christian organizations and organizations are thinking about outside of government how to meet needs. And some of the most important things that we're going to need to get back to is being there for our neighbor. You know, love thy neighbor, right? The great concept, the Good Samaritan. And but if we're having these kind of food shortages now, when we're starting to watch droughts that take place, like in California, for example, what are some of the foods that come out of California that we eat every day in America?
Well, it's amazing because you'd be surprised to find out how many they are. For instance, broccoli travels about 2,000 miles across the country from California.
So, but some people are not, you know, broccoli, I mean, how many people are going to be concerned about broccoli? I'm a broccoli.
Broccoli's delicious.
Yes, yeah, it is.
How about carrots come from California, 1,700 miles away.
So now if California's experiencing this drought, then the carrots that you presently are eating, that you'll miss it.
Absolutely.
It won't be there.
How about nuts? 99% of, actually, walnuts come from California.
99%. They say that the growing is, the soil is so good, the climate is so good, you can grow anything in California.
Anything. In fact, almonds, which many of us love, 600 gallons of water to produce 1 pound of almonds. That's why they're so expensive, probably. But 600 gallons of water per pound.
Pat eats a lot of almonds.
Well, hey.
I didn't realize what I was consuming for.
He's consuming a lot there.
I'm shocked. Oh. Say that again.
Takes 600 gallons to produce 1 pound of almonds. He's having a moment. Yes. Well, you have to go shopping more. You got to see how much these things cost. Almonds are expensive.
Wow. Okay.
Plums. 97% of the plums that we enjoy come from California.
But California's experiencing drought. So you're saying that these foods were at risk.
Huge risk.
What was the prophecy? Wasn't there a prophecy given by John Paul Jackson? We probably could hear it, I think. What was the prophecy that he gave?
John Paul Jackson's prophecy in The Perfect Storm.
Let's hear it. We have it.
And water from some of your faucets will be more expensive than oil.
So there's a prophecy given. Read the prophecy.
Yes, this is a prophecy from John Paul Jackson's Perfect Storm. And this was delivered back, I believe, in 2008. But this is what he heard from the Lord. He says, in time, water will be more expensive than oil, and cities will evacuate thousands because there's not enough water to meet their needs. Mm-hmm. And then he gives us a scripture reference that I think is so important. Amos 4:7 says.
Say it again. Say the whole thing again.
Let me read it again.
This is huge because it's happening as we're speaking.
Yeah. In time, water will be more expensive than oil.
No, wait a minute. The oil that we put in our cars.
Yes.
That water would be more expensive.
More expensive. And cities, listen to this, cities will have to evacuate thousands because there's not enough water to meet their needs.
Well, there is no water, they're saying, in California. They're going down, drilling deep, deep, deep down to sucking areas of water out to water crops. And they know that they're actually taking away this is the in case of problem water, and watering the crops, which means... And they're taking images now from a satellite to measure how much water is in a soil, and they can tell from the sky that it's totally drying up. California's drying up, India's drying up, parts of China's drying up. All these water tables are drying up, and this is serious stuff.
Big serious.
If you suck that thing dry, and so then you think about oil. Imagine what's fuel cost. I mean,
right now you're looking at what, $2.65, depending what part of the country you live in,
per gallon.
Per gallon, you know, oil's selling at $50 a barrel right now because it's low, but still.
You imagine a barrel of water is $50-$55 a barrel, and
that's nuts. I mean, and
nuts.
This is,
well, take yeah, a lot of water, yeah,
right? They take 600
Those are
gallons
off the table, right? Totally.
But this is of great concern, and it makes me think about what Amos 4:7 says. Yeah. I made it rain on one city, this is God speaking, and I withheld rain from another city.
Yes.
And you think about, I mean, what's happening in Cal? There's no water. You can't live without water.
Well, he's, you know, Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says they're debating over, you know, what are men doing?
Right.
And one particular man, you know, his name was Apollos, but they're just basically thinking men are the one that causes things to grow and happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells him, he says, you know, what are men? Yeah. You know, one man plants, another man waters, but it's only God who causes things to grow. So when things aren't growing, you know, we can pour water on the ground all we want to. We can put seed in the ground all we want to. But when the water is stopping and the food is not being provided, there is a remedy for that.
Yeah, that speaks on so many levels, but it's so true.
Yeah, there's a remedy for that. And that, and this thing about 2 years, you have that where, you know, that you know, talking about it takes 2 years for it actually to begin to affect.
Yeah, in fact, we've spoken about this before on the program, and I don't know if you knew this, but 2% of the population produces food for the rest of the other 98% of our population. So that's a talk about how fragile our food system is. Nobody wants to be in the food farming industry anymore. They don't want to, you know, raise crops. But this is what the report says. Because of the commodities trading, which is basically purchasing futures on the stock market for projected foods that will be grown by our farmers, it gives us an approximately 2-year lag in feeling a dramatic changes in food prices, which will only happen if there is a sustained trajectory in the change of food prices.
Oh, this is what we were prophesying 2 years ago.
Yes.
It's just 2 years,
yes,
right?
Yes, 2 years ago we were sharing this.
And now it's happening today.
Yes.
It's happening.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, once you're 2 years into something, it takes many years to come out of. You can't just.
Yeah. I mean, you got to grow this stuff. This is not miracle stuff comes out of the ground. 1, 2, 3. You have to grow it.
Yeah. And some of the prophecy, too, of John Paul Jackson was talking about that the southwestern United States and cities and just this shortage of water.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, men think the answer to the shortage of water is to just, you know, end the life of men. It's interesting that the one that says to end the life never says, why don't you just end your life? Yeah, why you got to end our life? You know what I'm saying? The answer is never take, you know, William Shatner, Star Trek, you know, a lot of people is a fan of that guy. And so, but he was actually on radio talking about, he thinks that the population needs to be thinned out.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, like, have you seen him? He needs to be
thinned
out.
Did he volunteer?
No,
did he volunteer?
He just thought it needs to be less people on the earth. And it's like, but the answer is not all of that. The answer is, this is the reports off of the Blaze, was that if you take just Maui,
which is an island.
You take all 7 billion, everybody right now that's on the face of the earth, every human being, they can fit shoulder to shoulder in Maui. All of us could fit.
In Hawaii.
It wouldn't be comfortable. Is that Hawaii?
Yeah.
Okay. But it's Maui, though, which is a specific, smaller land. And then you can fit on that one place, which leaves the entire globe empty.
Wow.
And so the answer is not, you know, we need, like, oh my goodness, people have to die off. They were saying things like, you know, they were in the 70s that we should have never ended smallpox because that was the way of thinning out the you know, making more.
The foolishness of men, I'll tell you, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. And so what I think about is I think about that this is what God told Solomon. This is what he told him. He said, listen, you know, since I'm the one that creates rain, you know, you can water, you can plant all you want to, but it's actually me who causes things to grow. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people that are frustrated because they're trying to do everything to cause their business to grow, their ministry to grow, their life to grow.
Yeah.
And they're pouring water all over it. They're actually throwing seed at it. They got like little memory cards on their dashboard. They're trying to make things happen, you know? Seriously.
Yeah.
And they feel so bad, they're beat down, they don't realize, like, God is the one that does this.
Yeah.
I mean, God is the one it's to turn to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in 2 Chronicles, he talks about it to Solomon. He said this. He said very specifically in chapter 7, he said, this is the Lord talking. He said, I have heard you pray and you've chosen a place for my dwelling. He says, when I, which is God, shut up the heavens so that it doesn't rain. There's no rain. Just this week, it was a huge drought in Texas. The soil was just packed to the T, hardened out for no, and people were praying and crying out for rain for Texas, and the rain came down that over 8 inches of rain covered the entire landmass of Texas. They said it could have been covered, and it was higher than 8, but the last measurement was you could have covered it with 8 inches of water. So much rain came down and caused, you know, great havoc when it came down. Yeah, floods. It was just tragic. But God is the one that releases the rain. He says, when I shut up heaven so there's no rain, or I command locusts to devour your business and your land or your food. We're talking about food shortages.
Talk about signs in the heavens. I mean,
yes. Yes.
This is about getting our attention.
Yes.
No water. What's going on, right?
Yes, yes. And he says, and I sent a plague amongst my people. Mm. You know, consider hardship as discipline. I'm treating you as a son. I mean, he talks about that. And so understanding that that God loves us and he wants us to, and so hardship happens to bring us to a place at a certain time. Not all hardship, but hardship does. This is what he says. He says, when I set up the heaven so there's no rain, command locusts to devour the land or send plague amongst my people, if my people will flush the toilet less. That's what he said. Yeah. Didn't the governor just say, flush the toilet less? Yeah. If my people will learn how to package food in a more economical way, no. If my people will go down to the lower reservoir to drill out water and suck it dry to pour it on your almonds. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
He says, if my people who are called by my name, God causes things to grow. He's holding the whole earth together. You can't run out of source if God is your source, but if we just turn to the creation instead of the creator, it's going to dry up. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven and I will cause water to be in your reservoirs.
Wow.
You know, I will forgive your sin, which that's what causes this, and I will heal your land. And I'm telling you, when we get back from the break, we want to talk about this because I really believe this natural drought is a sign of a spiritual drought. And if we, as God's people, will respond like God is saying, then everybody will drink water. I mean, we won't need trucks to drive food 10,000 miles away because I'm telling you, our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he can touch our economy, and major things can break loose instead of, I guess, flushing your toilet less. More we get back from the break.
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The bread. You know, if you haven't yet got a chance to go, which is really good when you're a bit woozy. ISIS, too, by the way. I remember, by the way, I know we're going to talk about the torch, but when I didn't start getting seasick until I started seeing other people get seasick.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst. That's the worst.
And when I have my kids,
I didn't think
now,
I needed a Dramamine, but if you got an extra one, I'll take about 7.
Well, I know when my kids, you know, they got sick, that didn't bother me at all, but it did bother Donna. My heart would go out. It's like, oh my goodness. But when I was in the Navy and grown men are getting seasick, it was just everywhere. And I thought, I am going to die in this ashtray. It was like, it was just all of that was happening. They smoked, saw their ashtrays turned upside down. Everything was everywhere. And so I finally made it to the pilot house and got me a big cup of ice and opened up both pilot house doors. And wind was blowing through, and I was laid up against the wall, chewing ice, hoping that I would not get an agreement with what was taking place on that boat. Getting back to the torch, make sure that you get a chance to eat from the bread that we make available for you. Go to VFNTV.com. Go to the torch. You can subscribe to it easily, and every day it will be in your email. You can sign up for the newsletter. It'll come to you once a week. Go to the torch. Go to VFNTV.com and sign up for the torch newsletter. By the way, there's a free gift waiting for you just to honor you for the whole experience, to thank you for the process. And in this relationship, even if we get a bit woozy, we can do this thing if we walk in agreement under our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless. You know, there's something about when you first get saved, that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you.
but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you where you got saved. Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, I think about, you know, drought, what happens in the natural, what happens in the spiritual, manifests in the natural. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you think about what we saw in Texas, and I was pondering this, and I wish we had some footage for you, but, you know, for so long, it was just so dry. I mean, Texas in general seems dry. But when it's dry, it's
dry.
They don't even build their fences out of wood. They build their fences out of brick.
Really?
Yes, because if you put a privacy fence up, it would just shrivel up.
Really?
Picket fence wasn't built that way. It turns into a picket fence.
Okay.
Yeah. It's real. I mean, it's like everything's brick here. You wonder why, you know, you look at the motifs from those areas and the houses. It's because it has to be built out of that material so it survives.
Wow, that's interesting.
And so now imagine a drought on top of that. And there's slabs cracking and all these different things taking place. So here you are, you're going through this drought and you're just, you know, praying, dear God, you know, we need, and think about this. If our food wasn't grown, you know, 1,000 miles away from us, then we would understand better that if it doesn't rain this week, we don't have any grapes. We don't have any grass that the cows eat. That's where burgers come from, kids. It comes from cows.
No almonds.
And since your cows are not kept in your back property, they're kept in Texas or they're kept in, you know, Wyoming, or your food is grown in California. Now you have to consider that's your backyard. That's your backyard. And here's Texas. They're crying out, you know, praying for rain to come.
California.
Obviously, California. No. Texas. And suddenly this downpour of rain just comes and it just starts pouring and pouring and pouring. Some of the measurements were you could cover the entire state, and Texas is huge, with 8 inches of water.
Wow.
I mean, have you ever driven across Texas?
It's like 2 days to get across.
It's just better to drive around. Anyway, so I love Texas. And so, you know, in that, the people weren't prepared for the rain. You're praying for it. You're asking for God to bring rain. You're suffering the consequences of having a drought in the natural sense. And then all of a sudden it rains and you're on vacation. And this tragedy takes place with a husband and wife and their children and their dog. And all of a sudden this gushing rain comes down and it just washes away his family. And it's tragic. People die in this thing. Police officers were being washed out in their cruisers, and they were flying out police officers by helicopters to be able to get them out of this floods. And it's like, wait a minute, that if God responds to our prayer, will we survive it? Are we even preparing for the rain? So many people just like, you know, when it rains, I'll go out, get some water, pour it on my crop. We'll have grass. Cows will eat grass. We'll have a burger. They just logically are thinking they're prepared for it. When all of a sudden this deluge of rain just bursts out of the skies, and Texas is covered with 8+ inches of water if you stacked it all up. And it just can't digest that kind of water. It can't absorb that kind of water. So it's just beginning to wash things. And it was just crazy what was happening in Houston. You know, I think about Kachara and James Bradford, and trees are falling, and just all kinds of things are taking place. Power's going out. And what the Lord's just really laying on my heart as I begin to soak on that is like, you know, I know a lot of people that are joining us in praying for rain.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the natural rain, but the earth is reflecting. The earth is reflecting a dry church.
Wow.
A parched church, a people who need a spiritual rain. You know, let the teachings of Moses rain down on me, that the washing of the word of God that would sanctify me, and that the presence and the power of God. I mean, you think about that. And so you can just start getting just commonplace with that and just go, yeah, you know, it's going to rain one day. Hey, it's going to rain. But not realizing God's going to answer your prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ready for the outpouring? Are we ready for it? Or all of a sudden, are we just going to be not planning for it? And all of a sudden, this undercurrent begins to happen. It's just great. And it's, I'm telling you, to me, it's going to be an intense, you know, move of God. The river's going to be so strong that if you're not prepared for it, believe it or not, a good thing like water can destroy you.
Yeah, it causes me to think about, you know, we've talked about it before, Joel chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we often talk about Joel 2:28, about the outpouring in the last days, but we often forget that Joel chapter 1 represents a land that was barren, where locust upon locust upon locust devoured everything. And it was completely dry. There was no devastation. It was devastation. Nothing grew.
Right.
But then the rain came. Then the outpouring came.
Right.
And that's what we got to believe for, pray for, prepare for, and expect with great faith.
Well, but preparing for it doesn't mean just sitting there waiting for it to rain. Because if you didn't prepare, I mean, after a drought for such a long time, you can forget what it's like to have a river in your community. You can forget what it's like to have a small place to be able to go swimming in, or a well to drink from. So being prepared is important. They weren't prepared. They had no idea that this is going to be the moment that so much rain came from the skies that you couldn't go on vacation, that you had to have your children near you, that you had to have your family near you, that the police officers couldn't ride their vehicles the way, I mean, the interstates were shut down in Houston. I mean, it was just a major thing.
Mm-hmm.
That when God begins to move, I mean, you don't want to miss what he's doing, but also you don't want what happens. I mean, it's the most amazing thing that when God begins to pour out his spirit in such a way, people actually, it washes them out instead of them getting in the river.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. Wow.
They didn't choose to do what was right and get healed in their heart. So instead of getting in, they got offended.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, it was demanding something from you. And you're thinking, I'm not used to demands being made on me, so I'm not going to. And it's like, what are you talking about? This is the moment. This is God. This is the encounter.
Get in.
And so, you know, I just felt that. And I know that, you know, you've been crying out with a drought in your life, and you're wanting God to pour out his spirit on you. And you just want God to wet those dry areas in your life. I'm telling you, I feel like in my heart that God's just going to pour out in such a way. It's going to be like Texas, Houston was just recently. This is outpouring that's going to happen. You want to brace yourself for it and be ready for it and be expecting it. And I'm telling you, you can get the most. I mean, just no telling, you know, what you'll benefit from when you understand God answers your prayer in a big way. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Christians under attack by ISIS being told to convert to Islam or die. The Islamic State posting the cold-blooded execution of 21 Christians in Libya earlier last month. Killing and wiping out entire religious communities, and I mean that have been around for the Christian communities since the beginning of Christendom.
Don't This is a organization which controls one contiguous piece of land larger than the United Kingdom between Iraq and Syria. And now they, in effect, we're learning, control Libya, the whole northeast of Nigeria, and basically all of Somalia, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse.
Welcome back. Welcome back, John.
Yes.
John. Hey, man. can you tell us about this? Was it Noble?
Yes.
What is this about?
Amazing woman. They made a documentary about her life. She lost both of her parents as a child and was abused in Ireland. And because of that traumatic experience, God, you know, healed her life. She has dedicated her life to ministering to children that are abused all over the world. And particularly, she's ministered to about 700,000 children in Vietnam.
Wow. 700,000?
Amazing. Her ministry, her work, and they've now made it into a motion picture film that is so inspiring. In fact, I want you to watch this trailer because it's in theaters now.
Oh, great.
Watch this.
You are going to be a big star.
So what brings you here?
It's complicated. Christina!
Don't let me, Mom, Dobby.
God can't cure everyone.
Recommendation is that the children be sent to separate institutions.
Look at you, a young woman, beautiful.
You're only 17.
You haven't got a husband.
You're going to have a baby.
Where is he?
He's been adopted.
You've let me down very badly, so you better have something very good in store for me.
I had a dream.
I know you sent me the dream.
But today, right here, I have my explanation. I need to find a way to help these kids.
When I was young, I was also homeless. I know how hard it is.
It's just a drop in the ocean.
This is only the beginning. If we build one center, we can build 10.
You don't want to work for me, do you?
I want you to come and work for me. Forget about education or healthcare. Forget about protection from danger or a little bit of love.
What is it that you intend to do for the children?
I will bring hard work, love for the children, my heart.
For a movie.
Going up in the world. Hey! What do you think you're doing? Those children are my guests.
It is forbidden for any foreigner to work in Vietnam.
I just have to take my chances.
You have already met your destiny. You have nothing left to prove.
I have everything left to prove.
Just playing right now, huh?
True life story. One woman, Christina Noble, who was abused as a child, left for dead. God gives her a dream of her ministering to children. And that dream, that vision that spoke to her, God spoke to her in this vision, calls her to go across the world to minister to 700,000 children.
700,000.
In Vietnam and Mongolia, rescuing children from being sex slaves.
Right.
And you think about the scriptures. I mean, Jesus loved the children so much when disciples were trying to, you know, hold the children back from him. He says, no, let them come to me. Let the kingdom belongs to them. Mm-hmm. And there's something about ministering to children. And we want to encourage you not to neglect children all around you. There's some of the greatest pleasures that God has given us. And we live in a society today that rejects children. They're nuisance. That you hear it often that they're in the way, Greg, and they're not. They're the blessings of the Lord to us, and we are to train them up and raise them up and speak life to them and give them a hope in the future. And I love what Christina is doing in her ministry, and it reminds me of Mother Teresa. Mm-hmm. She spent her life working in Calcutta, and many times we've shared on this program that she has said that when she looks into the eyes of these children, she looks at it, she sees the face
hurting
of God.
People, she sees the face of God. Yeah,
sees the face of God.
Yeah.
And so I just think this is a remarkable support the movie, but
well, you think about a sign of we have issues is family's no longer important. The whole concept, the epicenter of what God designed, family, it doesn't mean anything to you. All you want to do is stay away from it because it's painful, it's hurtful, or you don't want it, or it takes away from your time and your money and resources. Mm-hmm. Or children, you know, children, all they want is want. They don't give. Yeah. And then, you know, you have a young people who are people who are aborting the children. Then they live their life for themselves. They live their lives for themselves. And then they move into a community that says no kids are allowed.
Yeah.
They don't think like before God. That's
don't
not good.
Twice, yeah.
You cannot live in the community if you have kids. And then I think about, you know, CBS did a special on a couple, I forget what, single and loving it or something. Single on purpose. Childless on purpose.
Wow.
And they said, we're selfish. We don't want to have any children. It's all about us. We want to spend our money on us. And I'm like, well, at least they're honest.
Yeah.
At least they're honest. And I think about this. This is an excellent movie. You know, just had a chance to be able to see this movie called Not Today, which it just will encourage you from a perspective. And it shows this young man who's struggling with, believe it or not, narcissism.
No.
And, yeah, and he once was, you know, with God, walking with God, but he's kind of rebellious a little bit. And he runs into what you're talking about, where she's ministering. Take a look at this. It's called Not Today. It'll bless your heart if you see this movie.
Final hit, final game. Winner chooses a location. One dart, no ifs, ands, or buts.
Oh, God. Are you kidding me?
We're going to India.
How's your life, kiddo?
I've been busy planning my trip to India.
What?
I think India is great.
You have a blessing.
Thank you.
You mind telling me what just happened?
Yeah. We are in India.
Where the ladies at?
Let's get some action tonight.
Bottoms up.
Where's my wallet? What's wrong with you?
Please, we're dying. And I cannot feed him for 3 days.
Feed your own kid. It's not my deal.
Sir, I help you. Why is no help needed, sir?
And get me back to my hotel. I'll help you.
Welcome back, Mr. Ellis.
Who are they? You're not supposed to be along with them, actually. They're not from here.
I'll come back, okay? I told them I'd come back and help them, but I didn't, you know, and I should have.
I'm leaving. I'd rather be in my own bed at home.
Airport, please. Do you remember me? Where's the little girl?
Gone, sir.
Where exactly did she go?
Man who buy her, not safe.
You're telling me that you sold your daughter?
Best for Annika.
I'm not leaving until I see this is what you say it is. We're looking for a girl.
Are you on money?
You want the gun? These little girls that are sold into better lives, they end up as slaves.
That little girl needs you, Caden. She needs you to find her.
We don't find her now, we may never be able to.
Everything always given to you.
You don't get to judge me. You sold your daughter into prostitution. No.
Never seen anything like this before.
This is literally life or death bad.
Where are you, son?
I don't know where I am. This girl could be dead. And to be honest with you, being dead would not be the worst thing for her.
Trust your heart. God sure does, or he wouldn't have you there.
I am different because of this little girl.
Yeah.
You know, you think about this is that what Not Today does, it takes you right there in the environment where, as we talked about with Pol Pot and the Pink Room, which you can see at VFNTV.com, but it just, you know, question you ask yourself is how could a parent sell their child in to slavery, or supposedly they say, you know, that we're going to educate your child, you're starving, you can't feed your kid, we'll take care of your kid. And the next thing you know, they have the kid as a slave, and they're sex slave and different things of this nature. And this movie just kind of takes you there, but and it takes you from the narcissistic, you know, self-focused young man who is struggling with trying to get away from this problem, but it just haunts him. And once he sees it, he can't. Once you see it, you can never get away from it. And he doesn't stop. You're going to be so encouraged by watching this and realizing, you know, what are we doing? How can we just, you know, do nothing while these children are being kept in slavery and sex trafficking?
Absolutely.
And I think about, you know, Samaritan's Purse and how they are working tirelessly and working in the communities to educate the parents, because, you know, in this movie, for example, this man was convinced that they were going to take better care of his kid because he couldn't feed the kid, and he didn't realize they lied to him. But he didn't have enough education to understand that there's evil people and they're not going to do it. And he goes on this whole journey with this American trying to find his own daughter, and just it's a horrific. But once you educate him, once you understand, as we talked about in the earlier part of the program, that once you understand it's God that causes things to rain, that God's the one that brings forth the harvest. And then we stop looking towards man to be able to resolve our issues and our problems. And, you know, India needs us.
Yes, it does. You know,
China needs us. If you add the population of China and India together, I mean, you're looking at, what, 2-3 billion people on the face of the earth. And we need to pay attention to that.
Yeah. And so many needs, you know, not only do we have this issue with sex trafficking and children being just, you know, slaves, but also hunger too. You know, it's one of the largest.
That's what drove him to. They were so hungry, he could not feed his kid. And you start, you know, you don't know what you're doing if you can't feed your child.
Yeah.
You know, it's different with you, but when your child is hungry, you know, what will you do to be able to put food in that belly?
Yeah. You know, we watch these movies and we see this, you know, what's happening in the world, you know. Finally, movies that are being done in the media mountain, if you will, that are just entertaining, but more importantly, causes us to walk
storytelling.
Away.
Storytelling. Good storytelling. Yeah.
Changing us. Yeah. We're seeing visually, wow, life is really not about us here in America, but what can we do to take the gospel, to bring Jesus, or bring hope to these lands? And I believe that God's going to hold us accountable. To whom much is given, much is definitely required.
You know, I'm looking forward to the programs where you're going to be talking about, you know, capitalism and you know, the benefits of having finance and what we can do with, if we allow, get right with God, what we can bless, we can meet these needs.
Which is exciting.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
At the end of the day, are you going to regret not going on a vacation when you could have changed someone's life forever?
Yes.
Disney World or someone's life?
Yes. I think it was in Nigeria, where most of the population lives with like $2 a month or something in nature, most of it.
Yeah.
And we can't, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, that's less than the price of a cappuccino.
Yeah.
That's less than the price of a coffee, you know, believe it or not. Can you pray for our audience today? Because maybe they're experiencing spiritual drought. Maybe that you're, you know, your relationship drought. Maybe, you know, you're just needing God to touch you. And we just want to pray with you and believe that God, you know, will rain and wet those dry areas, but also you'll be prepared for this, you know?
Yeah. Father, Lord, we thank you that you are so exceedingly good and amazing. And right now, we just want to pray for our audience, Lord, and those that right now that you're in a dry place in your life. Things are just at a standstill. You've been even depressed, and things may be even falling apart all around you. We want to encourage you today and to believe that God is going to turn things around. Lord, we pray that you would minister to them right now, whether they're watching in their homes or wherever they're watching, God, that give them hope.
Yes.
Bring them healing. Lord, fix their marriages. Lord, fix their finances. Lord, but most of all, Lord, bring your people into a relationship with you. God, you've created all of us, Lord, but we're incomplete without you. And we pray salvation, healing, joy, and restoration to all people, Lord. May they find it only in you.
Lord, and we just pray that you would, that slavery would end on the earth, that
yes.
the children would be set free, Father God, that you would give your church wisdom and empowerment and change the culture,
yes.
that they would not feel this way or act this way towards the children. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing? He says, because he said, go be the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that in this dark world, that it's dark. And so if we're light, If you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness,
right.
but you're actually bringing light into that area.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision mm-hmm. about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace and your home, just let it play and just let mm-hmm. the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way?